Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning. Open up to the book of John. John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21 this morning. Title of this morning's message is probably something a lot of men will like. I'm going fishing is the title of the message. I'm going fishing. I know we have some fishermen in the church. I know that Mr. Steve's nephew, Matt, is coming. I bet you guys are going to go fishing this week, aren't you? You guys are going to go fishing a little bit this week because some men like to fish. I'm not a big fishing fan, but I know some men like fish. One guy before church told me he was giving it up. I don't believe him, but he probably wasn't all that successful. And the story that we have this morning, we have Peter tells some of the other disciples that he's going fishing, and they worked all night long, didn't catch a thing. And we're going to look at the message today and the title today and try to help us understand it. We can work really, really hard at trying to do something, but if God isn't in it, we're not going to accomplish anything. So the idea of this morning's message is it gives the distinction between self-effort and a spiritual effort. God's, remember where we're at last week, we left. Jesus had appeared to him in the upper room. And he had, remember who God blesses? Those that have faith. And how does he bless them? He blesses them with peace. He blesses them with power. He blesses them with the right perspective. And he blesses them with a purpose. And here in the story, we see that God has told him, I'm sending you out. I'm giving you a job to do. But the next thing I want you to do is I want you to go to Galilee. And we see that they return to Galilee. And remember that these men that are here are fishermen for the most part, and they're familiar. This is where they're from. This is where they grew up. They spent hours and hours and hours on these boats fishing. They weren't like they were rookies. I remember going out fishing with a couple guys, and I was out on a boat with them. And how many things I caught? Not one thing. You want to know? And I didn't feel bad. You want to know why? It's because I've never been very good at fishing. Don't really have much interest in learning how to fish. To me, it's a little boring. But those guys, they thought it was great. I like the crabbing. When I was a kid, we used to take the crab pots and pull the crabs up. That's a little bit more interesting. I guess I'm not patient enough to go fishing, but these men were different. These men were, they were experts. They were professionals. They got paid. This was their living. So when you have this perspective of what's going on here, I want you to understand that these men, when they toil all night and they don't catch anything, there's something going on. And it's the same thing in the story here. You say, well, I could go fishing all night and not catch anything. That's not what these guys were used to doing. They knew the right spot. They knew what the right bait was. They knew what the right nets were. They knew what the right boats were. They made a living in doing this before they found Jesus Christ or before Jesus Christ found them. And here, when they turn and say, we're going to go back fishing, they're making a statement here. They're tired of waiting on Jesus to come and appear to them. They're saying, we're going to go back and do what we used to do. And we're going to see here tonight, when we return to doing the things we used to do, it's not going to profit us anything. Here in John chapter 21, verse number 1, the Word of God said, and these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now this is another name for the Sea of Galilee. And it says, on the way showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. We learned about Thomas last week. He was the one that said, unless I put the finger through the nail print, he wasn't going to believe. And Nathanael of Canaan, and that was the one who was a little bit of a sarcastic one we saw when he first met Jesus, and it says, of Canaan and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, we know them being James and John, the sons of thunder, and two other of his disciples. We don't know who the other two were. We can speculate if we want, but we don't need to because the Bible left it out. A lot of the commentaries as I was reading says, put yourself there, you and your friend there, you and your husband, you and your wife, because this is a story for all of us. And all Christians to get this. Remember, this is the resurrected Christ. This is him training them to go out and do the work that he called them to do, just like he trains us. So this is what's really applicable to us today. In verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and enter into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Now, I don't know about you, but when you go fishing, you want to catch something. It gets frustrating, isn't it? If you spend hour after hour going fishing and you don't catch anything, That's not usually something that you're going to want to go the next day. Now, some of you guys might be diehards, and you might want to keep on going out, but most people, when they go out fishing, you say, how much did you catch anything? And usually they pull up and show you how big it is. And say, oh yeah, I caught one that was this big, even though it was this big. I had one commentator that was reading. I says, this is probably the only true fish story that has ever been told, because he said they didn't catch anything. Usually you'll hear stories that, here in this story here, they didn't catch anything. And Jesus is asking them probably the most frustrating question, the thing that all six of them did not want to hear. They already knew they didn't have anything. And this guy's over a couple hundred feet away. He's saying, hey guys, you catch anything? And they're like, no. They were frustrated. They were aggravated. They had been there all night, and they probably worked hard. And you think about it, when you're usually away from doing what the Lord wants you to do, sometimes you work extra hard at what you're not supposed to, trying to make it right. And I can imagine these guys were working really, really hard at night just to make it profitable, they knew something was going on. They knew something was wrong here. And in verse number 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Pretty simple. Don't you think they had already done that? If they were there all night long, they probably moved from spot to spot, cast it down the left side, cast it on the right side, cast it on the front, cast it on the back. They probably jumped in the water themselves trying to find fish being there so long. And here you see, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. There, verse number 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to go to your house. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to open this precious book. Lord, I pray that you teach us something. Lord, people who that may be new Christians or not too experienced at church, this is an important, valuable lesson for them to learn. But Lord, I also pray that you remind us, Lord, the people who work and the people who serve and the people who are faithful, how much we are in desperate need of your help each and every day. And Lord, that we need your presence. And Lord, that we need your thought and your wisdom and your direction. Lord, I pray that you bless the word today. Give me the words you once said, and Lord, the things that you want to be reminded of. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the first thing I want you to think about. I want you to think about, once again, as I mentioned in the prayer, if you're brand new, you've never been here to church before, you're recently saved, this is a principle that you will learn and have to be taught over and over and over in your life. This is something you'll have to understand because the flesh fights against this. We need God's help. We need God's direction. We need God's leadership. We need God to intercede and intervene if we ever plan on doing anything for Him. That's for the new Christian. For the old Christian, or the people that have been saved for a while, I'm not definitely not calling you old. For the people that have been saved for a while, you know, this is something we need to be reminded of often. Often. Our flesh likes to tell us, hey, you can do a little bit. Hey, you're accomplishing something. You're doing something. Go ahead. It's not that big of a deal. But we need to be reminded that we are completely, utterly dependent upon God to be able to accomplish anything for His service and for His work. Remember, this is this is showing you the difference between human effort versus spiritual effort. Doing something in our own might, our own strength, our own ability, or doing something in God's power, in God's strength, in God's ability. First point is the disappointment of serving self. The disappointment of serving self. I believe, and you say, Pastor, you seem like you're a little hard on Peter here about wanting to go fishing. I mean, you act like nobody should ever go fishing. Well, to be honest with you, if you're doing something different than what God wants you to do, then you shouldn't be going fishing. I'll even take it a step farther. If you're going fishing on Sunday morning when church is going on, then you shouldn't be there. That's the truth. There is something wrong with that. Is there something wrong with fishing? No. If you're supposed to be doing something else, then there is something wrong with it. And I think that's where the problem was here. Jesus had told him, go and wait. Peter got tired of waiting, and he takes the other six with him to go do something that Jesus, they had already left behind. So what do you mean left behind? Take your Bibles and look in Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, I think it's important to look at both these stories to help you understand why I'm telling you that I think Peter wasn't in God's will to go fishing that day. In Luke chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11, you have a similar story to the one that's here. Now, here in this story, Jesus is calling his disciples. What do you mean? He's enlisting them for service. What's going on in John chapter 21? He's re-enlisting them. What do you mean by re-enlisting? You see, Peter took out. Peter gave up. Peter, around that fire, he cursed the name of Christ and he went out weeping. And even though he was there in the upper room, and even though Jesus had saw him, Jesus knew what was in his heart, and Jesus knew that Peter needed to learn this important lesson that if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to depend on him. Peter's so used to depending on himself, and when he goes a fishing, he's not looking for God's help. He's looking to help himself. Here in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." And once again, this is Peter's. "And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now I want you to see here in verse number 4, what does it say? He says, "Let down your nets," that's the plural, "for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." You see, now that's singular. There's a purpose there, and we'll get to that soon. You know, and he says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break." I want you to take notice of that also. Next story in John chapter 21, their net doesn't break. And verse number 7, "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And you know, if we ever get a good picture of ourselves, if we ever see ourselves, we won't be high and mighty. If we all ever get a good picture of ourselves and a good picture of who God is, we're not going to be high and mighty. We're not going to be thinking that we can do something on our own. We're not going to be thinking that we should be the one in charge of our lives, that we need to be doing what we want to do. We'll be just like Peter, who was being stubborn. He didn't want to go back out. He didn't want to listen. He only listened halfway. But when he saw what God could do and saw what the Lord Jesus Christ could do, falls flat on his face and he says, "Look, I don't even deserve you." And that's what we need to understand and see from this story. So we need God's help. "For he was astonished at all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land," and I want you to take notice of this, "they forsook all and followed him." Now you say, you bring that back now to John chapter 21. Do you see where I'm saying that when they forsook the nets, when they forsook the boats, when they forsook everything to go be a disciple, to go be a follower of Jesus Christ, and we have them now returning back, it's a sign that they're not as interested in doing what God had asked them to do. It's a sign here that they're returning to their past, or returning to their world. They're returning to what they're used to. They're returning to what makes them comfortable. They're returning to what they know they're good at. I'm sure Peter, James, and John, they had their own boats. They were fishermen. They did this for a trade. This was something they were successful at. They felt like they didn't need God's help at all. But God reminds them and teaches them once again, like we often need to be taught, you are nothing without God's help. You can't do anything in God's work without God's help. And the first thing I want you to see is the disappointment of serving self. The disappointment of serving self. First, it brings fruitlessness. It brings fruitlessness. We saw earlier in Luke chapter number 5, they didn't catch anything when they worked hard. They toiled. They did what they could. And when they were doing it on their own, they could do nothing. And you see in John chapter 21, they worked hard once again. It wasn't the fact that they were just having bad luck. It's the fact that they were serving themselves and made it fruitless. They couldn't accomplish anything. You say, "Pastor, where do you see that in the Bible?" The Bible is very clear in John 15:5. It's a good verse to memorize. At least this last phrase is, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me." What does abiding mean? It means we're walking close with him. We enter this intimate, close, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing between us and God. Abide in me and I in him. The same bringing forth much fruit. Catches a lot of fish, put it that way. Amen. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, that's a spot in your Bible you should underline. That's a spot you should memorize. And it's saying, because so often the devil comes up to you and say, hey, you can live in sin, you can do what's wrong, and still do something for God. You don't have to abide with it. You don't have to be reading your Bible. You don't have to be praying. You don't have to do all these different things. And you can still accomplish and do something for God. Now, you might be able to do some good things. You might be able to feed some hungry, which is a good thing. You might be able to help a neighbor, which is a good thing. But in the spiritual perspective and making a difference and with God's blessing on your life, the Bible saying here is that for without me, you can do nothing. We need to be abiding with God. And what we're going to do is we're going to be coming up fruitless, which means seeing no fruit, seeing no results in God's eyes, not in man's eyes. Because man's going to lift you up. Man's going to praise you. Man's going to say, you're doing a good job. In God's eyes, we're going to be fruitless. John chapter 6, verse 27 has an interesting thought here. Labor not for the meat which perishes. It means don't put all your time, your efforts, and talents in things that go away quickly, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He says, don't be working and doing all these things, self-serving and taking care of yourself to the point that you forget about serving God. He's saying here, don't be laboring. Don't be working hard for that. Now, should you provide for your family? Yes, the Bible tells us you need to provide for your family or you're worse than an infidel. The Bible tells us that. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, we need to look not to be laboring for the things of this world, but we need to be laboring for the things of God. Because if not, we're going to be coming up fruitless. Next thing I want you to see is that not only the disappointment of self-serving brings fruitlessness, it brings impatience. It brings impatience. You know, we like to have things now. We like to see success. You know, if we were all honest with ourselves, we'd like to see this whole church filled, and we'd like to see it happen tonight. Well, for those that are going to be here tonight, we'd like to see you here tonight. Hopefully everybody will be here, but time tells us not everybody comes back on Sunday. We would hope everybody be here next Sunday morning. We'd like to have it filled up. We'd like to have it filled up now, right? You know, when we're self-serving, you know, sometimes we become a little impatient. Sometimes we don't want to let God work and let God do our work. Well, we need to let God do what he wants. Do we want the church filled? Yes. Do I believe the church can be filled? Yes. But here, Peter is sitting and God says, look, I want you to go and I want you to wait. I've told you to do something. I've sent you out to do a certain work. No longer did I tell you to keep on catching fish. Now you're supposed to be catching men. And they could have been doing something for the Lord. They could have been preparing his coming. They could have been talking to someone. They could have been praying. But what do? They return. He said, Pastor, what's the big... If there was nothing wrong with Peter going, then he would have never mentioned it in the Bible. He's teaching him. He's showing him something. The thing that we need to learn is we need God's help. It brings in patience. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. So many times we jump ahead of him. We think we got the answers. We think we know what's right. And we jump ahead of him and says, okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do. Now, the Bible says that if we're going to be self-serving, if we're going to be working hard in our own efforts, we're not going to be patient. We're going to try to accomplish what we want in our own power and our own strength. These men here, they weren't patient and waiting for God. Instead, they went out fishing. And the Bible teaches us we need to wait on the Lord. Listen to what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we learn to wait on the Lord, he will give us the power and strength to accomplish what he desires in our life. And we must understand here, if we're going to be working on our own strength and our own power, you know what's going to happen? Is we're going to be fruitless. And we're also going to become impatient. And we're going to be looking around saying, why isn't God doing? We need to learn to wait for his time. Next thing I want you to understand, I already alluded to this a little bit, it brings frustration. It brings frustration. Now imagine this, guys, you're successful fishermen. We're not talking about a rookie like me. We're talking about you've been there, you've done that, you brought home the big one. And you go out all the time. And you imagine going out there for 10 hours one night and just sitting there and not catching anything. Boy, that's going to be frustrating, isn't it? And you know what you're going to do throughout that night? You're going to change baits. You're going to change fishing poles because you know these guys, that they're professionals or they like to fish. They have a ton of fishing gear. I hear from some wives that there's tons of fishing gear. They said on Father's Day one year, we could open up and give something fishing-wise to everybody in the church because of the fact that's how much stuff they had The garage should still be full. These men knew what they were doing. And they became frustrated. Why were they frustrated? It's because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be waiting on God for his next instructions. And they worked all night. What is going on? God loves them. God is trying to teach them something. God's trying to show them something here. You need me. I go back and I think of this story, and it talks about, it reminds me of Solomon. Remember Solomon, David's son. We mentioned him this morning in Sunday school a little bit. You know what he was? Probably the most privileged guy to ever live. God gave him extreme wisdom, smarter than any man that ever lived, except for Jesus Christ, obviously, because Jesus knows everything. And he had great riches. He had a lot of wives. You count that as a blessing or a curse, that's up to you. He had wisdom. He accomplished more than probably any man ever accomplished in life. He had the ability. He had talent. He revolutionized things back in Jerusalem. Great things. But you know what? In his life, because he was working so hard for himself, he ends up saying, therefore I hated life. How could he hate life and have all the money? He says, if there was anything I wanted, I went and got. If there's any pleasure I wanted, I went and had. If there was any woman he wanted, he went and got. Anything he wanted, he could have. But you know what he said? I hated life. And listen, he says, therefore I hated life because the work that was wrought under the sun is grievous unto me for all his vanity and vexation of spirit. He says, I did everything. Listen to his testimony. He says, and whatsoever mine eyes desire, I kept not from me. And I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and the portion of all my labor and all my works, and my hands had wrought. He had done everything a man could do and desire, and he said at the end, it was all worthless. And why is that? It's because he's serving self. It's bringing frustration. There was no satisfaction. There was, you know, how do we hear that millionaires that have millions and millions of dollars, how much money is enough? Just one more dollar. At the end of their lives, they're begging and pleading for just six more months or six more days or six more hours. They're not living for a purpose. They're living for themselves. And I think Solomon got some things figured out, because at the end he wrote, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Man who experienced it all, lived for himself altogether, and he accomplished everything a man could accomplish in one lifetime. And then at the end he says, look, all that stuff wasn't worth it. Living for myself, living for the things of this world, working hard and toiling hard, wasn't worth it. But the thing that matters is that we fear God and we serve him. We keep his commandments. And here's the reason. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So here's the reason. It's because God knows everything anyway. God is in control. God can keep the fishes out of the fisherman's net. Or God can fill it up. And here in the story, I want you to get this, is that it brought frustration. And I want to take a little side note. Most, to be honest with the service this morning, is mostly aimed toward believers, because that's what the passage. Peter, James, and John, all those guys, they were believers. But if you're here this morning, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be honest with you, you're missing the whole point. Jesus Christ came to this world to die for your sins, to give you an opportunity to live for him and be able to be saved and go to heaven. And there's the question, what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? And I think Solomon, the world was his oyster. Solomon had it all. And what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're here today, you've never been saved. When it's invitation time, let somebody take your Bible and teach you and show you what the Bible says about how a person can be saved. And Christian, if you're here today, think about the story of Solomon. Think about many stories of people in the Bible. People went out and they lived for themselves, and they lived for themselves. They were never happy. They became people who were frustrated. They became people who were impatient. And worst of all, they became people who was fruitless. Solomon's story and Solomon's life ended up that he caused Israel to go into a downward spiral, and Israel had never been the same. He lived off the blessings of his father, and God blessed because of that. And at the beginning, he started good, but he allowed sin to get into his heart, and he started living for himself and for his wives. Remember, there is a disappointment in serving self. Next thing I want you to see is the demonstration of power while serving God. The demonstration of power while serving God. And this, we'll go quickly to this because it's pretty easy. You see it there. There's a demonstration of power there. You think about it. What's going on? They worked all night. There were six of them at least. And they had a boat. They had nets. I'm sure they had bait. They had whatever was needed to catch a lot of fish. But they didn't have God's blessing. And God was teaching them and showing them something that we need to learn. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we need His help. We need His power. If we want God's blessing, we need to give God a chance to work. We can't go out and live whatever way we want and say, God, please, bless our mess. No, He's showing us here. He's teaching us that we need God's help. This is a demonstration. You think it is amazing what you can do with God's help. They worked all night and caught nothing. He makes one statement and they catch it. They catch more than they've ever caught before. And you think about it. What can God do with our lives? What did God do with five loaves and two fishes? He was able to feed 5,000 people. What was God able to do with a stone? He was able to kill Goliath. What was God able to do with a rod? He was able to part the Red Sea. What was God able to do? And you put yourself there and say, what is God able to do with a surrendered servant? That's what these people were. They took what God had given them in their hand and said, God, this is what I have. Take and use it whatever way you want. Say, Pastor, I'm not talented. I'm not strong. I'm not smart. I'm not this. God wants what's in your hand. God wants what He's given you, the talents and abilities. David wasn't anything special. He couldn't even use the sword and spear that Saul had. He had to use what he had. Five loaves and two fishes probably wasn't enough to feed a man. It was just a boy's lunch at that day and time. But it was, in God's hand, it was enough to feed 5,000. The rod, the stick that Moses had, God could take and use. And so here's the thing is, it's amazing what God can do with you in your life. You know, if you're going to be willing to serve God, you're going to be willing to live for it, it'd be amazing to do what God can do with you. I mean, God's going to let me make 5,000, feed 5,000 people? No, God's going to do exactly what He wants to with you, and that will be the greatest thing in your life. There's not going to bring impatience in your life. It's not going to bring frustration like these other guys had. It's not going to bring, He's going to let you be what He wants you to be. And that's the best thing you can be, is what God wants you to be. Yeah. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to do something that God hasn't called you to do. Give what God's given your hand. Now, He might give you more things. He might give you more abilities, but be willing to use what God has in your hand. You say, I don't give financially. The Bible says you're supposed to. And He says, it's not much. It doesn't make a difference. Let God do what He wants, what is in your hand. We need to get this. Understand, with God's power, it's a demonstration of what God can do. Now, these men out there, what do they got in their hand? They got a net. They got to be willing to cast it on the right side. Now, most men, if you're out there fishing all night, you're starting to come back into shore. If there was some guy on the side of the shore saying, hey, look, buddy, all you got to do is cast your rod over there, you would look at him and say, look, man, I worked all night. I don't need to hear you tell me what I need to do. I'm going home and I'm going to bed. Now, what they had to do is they had to obey. They had to listen. There's two things that's important about being used and them, God's power in your life. Two things I want you to think about. First, you have to be clean. You got to be holy. You had to be the right vessel for Him. Say, Pastor, why is that important? Well, see, what sin does in our hearts and life, it separates us from God. It separates us from the blessings of God and the power of God. Think about what it says in Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. You read your Bible and you see Old Testament, New Testament. A person who has sin in their heart, a person who has sin in their lives, God will not use. God will not use. And if you want God's power in your heart and your life, then you need to have God's blessing. You need to be clean. I think it's important. We see this story and we see that the throwing of the things, the men worked all night trying to please themselves. But the moment that they stopped doing what they wanted to do and did what God wanted to do, what happens? There's something miraculous. And Christian, have you really given God a chance? Have you really given God a chance to work and bless in your life? I mean, have you really gotten rid of the sin? Have you taken and been obedient to Him? Have you cast the net on the right side? You go back to that story in Luke chapter number 5. What was it? Jesus says, go out and do what? Cast out your nets. What does Peter do? He goes out and says, look, Lord, I've been working all night. But because You asked me, I'm going to do it because You asked me. And he throws out the one net. He doesn't even do it wholeheartedly. He doesn't even do it with everything. Can you imagine how much fish he would have caught if he cast out more than one net? He could have caught that much more. It could have been that big of a blessing. And Christian, this is the point. This is the main text of the message. God wants to use you. You got God's power in your life. You have the opportunity. But the first thing you do is got to be clean. You got to be in the right place. Peter was not in the right place. He wasn't waiting like he was supposed to. And God had to teach him and God had to show him, look, you need to be where I want you to be. You need to be right with me. And then secondly, you got to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to listen. You go back to that story in Luke chapter number 5. Peter's like, I don't want to do it. Our flesh is not going to want to live for God. Our flesh is going to fight us every part of the way. But you have to be obedient. You have to learn how to be obedient. And you need to make that statement, nevertheless at thy word. Lord, it doesn't feel like I want to be a soul winner. Lord, I don't want to be the right husband. I don't want to be the right wife. It just doesn't, not my desire. It says, but nevertheless at thy word. Nevertheless, Lord, because you told me to. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what's going to bring the peace and the power and the right perspective that we talked about last week. And you know what's going to bring the frustration and the impatience? You know what's going to bring that fruitlessness in your life? Is when we're living for ourselves and not living for God. Here's the perspective. They worked all night. Didn't accomplish anything. In 10 seconds, they accomplished more than they could ever imagine doing the whole night because God was willing to help them. Last thing I want you to see here in the story, and I want you to look in verse number 7, and it says, therefore, the disciple John, whom Jesus loved, and we know that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I like that phrase. You know, they're sitting there, and they're out in the boat, and they're there, and they're sitting out there in the boat, and you know what they're doing? They worked hard all night, they're coming in, and there's this guy out there on the beach saying, hey, you guys got any meat? And it was the last question they wanted to answer. No, we don't have any meat. Leave us alone. He says, well, all you got to do is cast your net over on the other side. And I don't even know why they did it. Maybe they thought it could have been him. But when this happened, John, who has a spiritual perspective here, says, it is the Lord. And you know what? Peter takes off because he wants to be near him. So what are you going to have, Pastor? What you think about, this is the proclamation of God's power. When God does a work in your heart and your life, the only thing that can be said, it's the Lord that did it. It can't be, hey, we figured out the right bait. We figured out the right spot. You know what? That net is right. It's because we didn't do it the right. No. John said, I know who that is. It's God. And this is what we need in our hearts and our lives. The Bible talks about letting our light shine before men. Why? So they can glorify us. No, that they can glorify God because God wants to do a heart and work in your heart so much and so big that the rest of the world will turn around and say, hey, look, God did that in his heart. God did that in his life. God is the one that made the difference. It didn't matter what the boat did. It didn't matter what the bait was. It didn't matter what the net was. It didn't matter what sea it was in. God did the work. That's what God wants to do with all of us. But you know what? Some will say, I just want to go fishing. I know what God wants me to do, but I want to go do what I want to do. Once again, I'm not painting an ad that you should never, ever go fishing. But what I'm painting an ad is, we should not want to live for ourselves. When we live for us, we get frustrated. We get weak. We get fruitless in our Christian lives. We become impatient. We try all these different things. And that's what lots of churches are doing today. They're going away from the Bible. They're going away from the things that please God. And they're trying this and they're trying that and they're trying everything they can. They're becoming impatient because they don't see God working. They don't see God moving. They don't see God working on their hearts. And they become impatient. They say, we need to try this. We need to try that. Where we need to stop and we need to get on our face like Peter did the first time and said, Lord, I don't even deserve. I don't even deserve to be in your presence. Please depart from me. I'm a sinner. And we need to say, I need God if I want to do anything. And that's what we need to do. We need to get to the point where we beg God and say, God, we can't do anything for you unless you help us. We need to ask God and we need to pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to get to know him better. We need to do the things in our lives that's going to please him, that's going to bless him so he can turn around and bless us. And what we're looking for and what we're doing here isn't just a time to entertain people. It's not a time to be able to just get people to come to church so they can feel good about themselves. What we're trying to do here, what we're trying to accomplish here, is something for God and trying to accomplish a work for God and trying to do something that will make God happy and please God. We're looking to change lives. We're looking to see people saved, but the people that have been saved, we're looking for them to grow closer to God. We're looking to do something supernatural here. We're not just trying to buy time. We're not just trying to serve ourselves. We're not just trying to make you feel good. What we're trying to do is something that will be, with God's help, something that people will turn around and say, no one else could have done that but God. Only God could do that. It is the Lord. And that's what we need to be searching for. But Christian, are you really seeking Him for that? Are you really looking at that? I mean, how many experiences do we have to have of working out there all night long and not accomplishing anything? How many times has God got to smack us upside the head and say, come on, come along, this is what I want you to do. You need to get this figured out. I've been trying for a long time. And you know, we let her sin. Is God not powerful enough? Can God not hear? Can God not? We saw that. His arm's not shortened. His ear's not broken. Everything's there for Him. He's there and wants to help us. So tonight, this morning, I know sometimes you feel like I preach so long, it's nighttime when I get done, but this morning, are you working in the Spirit of God? Or are you working in your own strength? Because the Bible says if you're working in your own strength, you might accomplish some good things. But spiritually, you're not going to accomplish anything. But when you work in the Spirit of God and the power of God, you're going to do a work that people are just going to stand back, take a notice, and say, God's the one that did that. And I pray that that's what your desire is for people to look at your life, not because you're bragging or showing, because the people that brag and show, they're people don't think that about you. People think, no, God needs to do something with that person. But when you are humble, and you have the peace of God, and the power of God, and the right perspective, that's when people say, God made that change. I know some of you had that testimony. You had maybe lived a life that was wicked before, and then you had this testimony that people come around and say, man, whatever happened to you? But even in a Christian's life, where maybe you've never done any of those quote-unquote really bad things, people should look at your life and say, there's something different about you. There's something that's changed about you. What is it? And all you can say, it was God. That's it. But our lives should change so that it can glorify God. This morning, we've been working really hard in our own flesh. We can go out and pass out 1,500 flyers. We can go out and pass out 1,000,000 flyers in our own power, in our own strength, and not accomplish nothing. Well, we might accomplish some good things. Some people may come to church, but spiritually, we're like working all night and not accomplishing anything. And I think that's where some of us are. We're working really hard. Don't get me wrong. You're working hard. You're working really hard. But when we want God's help and God's blessing, He's got to be involved. He's got to be telling us where to put the net. Too often we want to say, this is where I want to be at, and this is what I want to be doing. But Jesus said, what do you got in your hand? Let me do what I want with it. And that's what we need to remember. This morning, and let me encourage you, you can spend your whole life, and many Christians do, working hard and working hard and working harder, trying to accomplish something in your own strength. Or you can join the few that have said, God, you can have me. I want to do this work in your own strength and your own power. And Lord, I'm going to let you do what you want. I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to be clean. So God, you can do what you want in my life. My prayer is that we all be people that are interested in doing spiritual things and wanting to see people a change in people's lives, that we say it was nothing but the Lord. We can't give any other credit to anybody else. Let's go ahead and pray.